Good morning. Let's pray. Okay. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for each and every person that you have brought here this morning. Because we are here because you have brought us here. We're not here because somebody forced us to be here. We are here because you have spoken to us. And so, Lord, anoint us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your presence, Lord. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to understand, not just with our minds, but with our hearts. And in Jesus' name, we bind the work of the enemy over this time, over our lives, over our families, over this church in Jesus' name. And we say, be gone from our life. Be gone from our churches. Be gone from all that happens in our life, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray everything that I say, everything we do, will be from the Spirit of the Lord, not from the flesh, but the Spirit of the Lord, for your glory. For your glory alone, for to you belongs all glory, all honor, all praise, all riches, all thanksgiving belongs to Jesus, and only to Jesus, not to human beings, but to Jesus. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He was, he is to come. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord of this earth, of Singapore, of every nation, of every people, of every tribe, of every tongue. Jesus is Lord. And so we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know some of you from before. Some of you know me from before. I met somebody yesterday who met me when she was 5 years old. And now she's 20 plus. And I tell you, time has passed. Like Kenneth. I met you when you were, nine or 8 years old. Now he's slightly plus plus. And, you know, and somebody came up to me today, just a few minutes before the service, and she said, I just want to say thank you to you because, you know, I'm married, I have children, but I'm married because of you. I said, really? She said, yes, because many years ago when I was a young lady, you prayed for me and that I would have the right husband. And you said, you know, this and this and this and this. And he came along and then it was the right one. And I knew because you prayed this one. And then I married him and now I'm happy. I have children and everything. She said, thank you. I said, oh, you're welcome. But be careful, huh? If you're not married, don't ask me to pray for you. If you say, hey, doctor, pray for me for a handsome husband. I don't know. Be careful. Okay. So anyway, it's good to be here. Good to see all of you. How many of you here are under the age of 35? Raise your hand. Some of you don't know. Okay. Good. Most of you. How many of you are over the age of 35? Oh. God bless you. That's good. I'm glad you are too. So this is for everybody, what I'm going to talk about today. And I've been asked to talk about the Father's love. And so that's what I'm going to talk about, basically. And the first part about it has to do with the hippo postman. You don't know what this means. You'll find out in a minute. But I think Holly asked me today, said, are you still a hippo? I said, of course not. I've been a hippo postman now for 30 years. Still hippo. I look like one, right? Yeah. So you have to see what it means. And this has to do with a prophecy that was given to me in the year 1990 about who I am and who I'm going to be. And I didn't even know what that meant. This is my wife and myself, And actually, this is some, this young lady, I think, was here at the cathedral. But this was us. This is me. This is me. This one here. That's my wife over here. That's not my wife. That's my wife. And these are some books, all the Hippo Postman books. And this book here, this is amazing, but this was done many, many years ago, I think in the 1990s. And we had an artist there who did it. And it wasn't until this morning I met him. So that's maybe 25 years later. And his name, so Peter, stand up. This is Peter right here. Peter is actually the one who did the artwork for this book. Woo! And I didn't know that. And I didn't know he was here until this morning. But anyway, now I know. That's Peter. No, that's me. But that he did the artwork. That's his drawing, right? That's your drawing, right? Yeah. Correct. Okay, so this story of the Hippo Postman, this is me on television in Japan. We had a television show. And the story of the Hippo Postman went out in Japan to over 7 million viewers. And it went out in Canada. It was shown one time only in Canada through TBN and went out to 21 million people. And today it's on the internet in Arabic for the whole Arabic-speaking world, all the Middle East. And it's been in China too, but now we're trying to put it into internet in China, into the, if we can get on, the Hippo can get on in China, can I? So he's going to go to China. But anyway, we're working on that also for it to be going to China. And it's in Japanese, it's in different languages. This is a Hippo in Singapore. Be hip, go topless. I don't know what that means, but anyway. This is on Orchard Road. Also, Hippo is also a Singaporean. And this is my grandson and a Hippo. And my grandson is now older, but this is when he was a baby. He thought that was his grandpa. My daughter said, "Hey, this is your grandpa. Say hello." He goes, "Hi." So for many years, he thought that's what I look like. He met me. He didn't think I was his grandpa. And of course, the story is that these are hippos, you know, that I am a Hippo Postman, but God wants all of you, especially you young people, to be hippos also and go forth. So the question is, what does this mean? So let's show the DVD, the video called The Hippo Postman. It will explain everything to you.
The Hippopotamus Postman. Once upon a time, I was searching and searching for an answer to this question. What should I do with my life? Then I heard that there was a man who was a prophet. A prophet is a man who speaks for God. He seems to have a direct telephone line to God, and many times he tells people about their lives. This prophet I'd heard of was in a place called Kansas City, halfway across America from where I lived at the time. My wife and I flew out there and met him at his house. His house was old and wooden. When we arrived, we entered and met the prophet, a man with a very big belly and nice white hair. With him were two other very important looking men. The prophet had a message for each one of us. First, he went up to one of the men and he said, "You're going to be a great evangelist. You're going to talk to thousands and thousands of people." Then he went up to the next man and he said to him, "You, oh, you're going to be a great pastor, and you will take care of hundreds of people." Well, I smiled. The prophet seemed like a very friendly man. He had said such nice things about all the other men. I couldn't wait for my turn. I was certain he would have wonderful things to say about me too. Then he went up to my wife and he said to her, "You're such a very special lady. Why, you will be like a songbird. You'll be singing for God. Also, you will counsel many women who are hurting." Well, we knew it was right because my wife sang in choirs and also liked to listen to women who had lots of problems. Well, my turn was coming next. Finally, the old man walked up to me and looked at me straight in the eyes. Then, in a very loud voice, he said to me, "Oh, you're going to be a hippopotamus." "A what?" I was really shocked. I was embarrassed. I just stared at the old man. I felt like running away to hide. Such great things for everyone else. And I am a hippopotamus? Well, before I left, I got up the courage to go to the prophet. I couldn't leave like that, could I? Isn't there anything more you can say about me?" I asked him very shyly. He paused to think about it. He scratched his head. "Well, yes, I think so," he replied. "You'll be a hippopotamus postman." "Well, thank you," I said, feeling just terrible. How crushing. I didn't know at all what he was talking about. I'd come halfway across America and I was sad and depressed. "Oh, I know this is strange, but could you please tell me just a little bit, just a few more things, a little more about being a hippopotamus postman? To be honest, I don't really understand." "Don't you know anything?" the prophet asked. "You're a hippopotamus. Now, hippos are kind of silly looking with those funny little ears. But don't you know that in the jungle, the hippo is one of the most feared animals? He is fierce. You see, nothing can stop a hippo from going where he wants to go. He is big. He is strong. He just goes everywhere without anything blocking him. He's so big that nothing gets in his way. Absolutely nothing. And you're going to be like that hippo. Nothing is going to stop you. Do you understand?" I guess so, I replied. But what about the postman part, I asked, getting up more courage. Oh, have you no understanding, young man, he asked. You are going to be delivering letters. Letters? I asked, feeling stupid again. Love letters from God, the man said loudly, and you're going to go all around the world telling people about God's love. Well, then I knew. I finally knew what my purpose in life was supposed to be. I was supposed to go all around delivering love letters from God. And nothing is supposed to stop me from delivering the message. So this program you're now watching is the result. It was hard getting it done. It's been hard getting it translated into different languages. But you see, the fact that this program is brought to you means that nothing has stopped these love letters from getting through to you. Oh yes, and one more thing. Perhaps one day, you might become a hippopotamus postman. The world really needs lots of hippo postmen and postwomen too. There are lots of love letters to deliver and many, many more countries to go.
Amen. So that's it, you. Now you know who I am, right? Okay, so you call me Dr. Hippo. That's okay. But what God has really done is, this happened in 1990, before many of you were born. And God has said, I'm going to send you out to the world. Well, at that point, I had no interest in traveling. I didn't even have a passport. But God sent me out since then to many, many, many nations, all to talk about one simple thing, and that is that God loves you. That's all. And that we should love one another, and God loves us. And that is the basis of Christianity. But the Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a strange statement to be making. But what the Bible says is that I'm supposed to tell people that God loves you, but the Bible also says, if you love the world, then you cannot have the Father's love in your life. So loving the world causes problems. And so even when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted with the world. And the devil said, I'll give you everything. All you have to do is bow down. I'll give you, a new car. I'll give you the 5 C's or 6 C's or 10 C's. How many C's you wanna? I give it to everything for you. All you have to do is bow down and follow me. And that's a golden calf. I will give you gold. I will give you silver. I will give you CPF. I will give you bread talk. They still have bread talk in Singapore? God, yeah, of course. This is the one in Bishan where I used to stay. So God says, you follow me, I give you bread talk lah. Give you choice of any kind of bread. I give you everything you want. I give you makan. I give you, everything. You follow me, the devil says. So the devil says, I'm going to give you everything because I am in control of everything. But the Bible says also that the desires of this world pass away. So, even if you have everything, and this woman had everything, everything in the world, the most beautiful woman in the world, the most photographed woman in the world, going to be the queen, she was something. She had everything, money, riches, fame, on the cover of every magazine, and so much power. But the man or woman who does the will of God lives forever. And this woman had nothing. She wasn't beautiful. She was an old lady. She, you know, did one thing. She helped poor people. But she didn't have all the things that the princess had. And she met the princess. And what happened? The princess disappeared off the face of the earth in 1 second. And so the Bible says the one who lives the will of God lives forever. And this is what happened with the rich young man when Jesus met the young man who had everything. This young man had the best CPF you could imagine. He had a wonderful job. He worked down, you know, in a wonderful business. He had so much money. He was a nice young man. He never did anything wrong. But Jesus said, no, you have to sell everything. Give to the poor, and then come follow me. Because Jesus says you cannot follow God and love money at the same time. So I'm telling you, young people, very simple thing, that if you want to become a true follower of Jesus and survive, be careful of following money. Be careful of following power. Be careful of following success. And I say this because I had all those things in my life. I've had power. I've had money. I've had success. I can say this now. I was a government official in Singapore. And I know I don't. Well, this is the way I used to dress, actually. But I had a tie jacket. You know, I worked for the court of Singapore for many, many years. So I've had the power, I've had the authority, I've had the money, I've had everything. But you know, I had nothing because all I really needed was Jesus. That's all I really needed. And so following Jesus is what meant everything. So this is me and with the young people. And God is calling young people around the world to following him. He's calling young people everywhere to follow Jesus alone. And you know, we sang a song tonight. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And so people all over the world, young people everywhere, are being touched by the power of God because they are decided that they are not going to follow the world. They're going to follow Jesus. They are not going to follow after gold and riches and power and money and fame and fortune and beautiful things and beautiful people, but they're going to follow Jesus. And this is happening everywhere. It's an amazing thing that's happening. Everywhere I go, and I go to many countries, the same thing is happening. This just was a few months ago where these young people came up and the Lord just touched them. And these young guys are really tough young guys, man. They were like really cool, you know. And they come up, but the love of God touched them, and they broke down crying. They couldn't control it because they knew that God loves them more than anything that they could do in their life. And these are some of the leaders in this group where I was. This was in Malaysia. So God is touching your generation. Jesus is touching your generation for him. So Jesus is saying, come to him. Come back to him. Because he is the one that wants you and wants to follow you. Wants you to follow him. Sorry. Okay? So I'm going to show you one more video, because I rather you see a video than hear me anyway, okay? It's better for you anyway, and it keeps you awake, and, you know, it's easy. So let's show this one. We have it, right? Did you learn to receive my love? This is finally about the Father's love, God the Father's love in your life.
Did you learn to receive my love? One day, while asleep, I had an unusual dream. Maybe it was a vision. I found myself suddenly before God in heaven. How did I know it was God? I couldn't see his face, but it was like looking straight at the sun. So bright, so much light. Only it wasn't burning. I only had a sense of great love and a power that I didn't understand. And while I was there, I suddenly fell to my knees and I began to apologize for myself. In fact, I didn't quite know what to apologize for, but I figured that if this is really God, it would be a smart thing to begin our conversation with my apologies. Oh God, I'm sorry that I have not prayed enough, I said so very weakly.
Well, that's very important, but that's not the most important thing,
said God in a very deep and rich voice.
Well then, I'm so sorry. I am selfish. You know, I can't help myself sometimes.
I apologized.
Well, that's very important, but that's not the most important thing, he said to me.
Well, then I began apologizing for everything I could think of. What else could I have done wrong? Maybe I didn't give enough to the poor, and maybe I didn't have enough faith. And then a thought came to me. Oh God, I think I know now. I think I know the greatest mistake that I made. I just haven't been nice enough to my wife. I know I should love her better. That must be it.
Well, that's very, very, very important, but that's not the most important thing, he said once again.
Oh, God, what do you want from me anyway? I asked, whining like a little spoiled child. He was really frustrating me. I couldn't figure him out. What did he want from me anyway?
When you appear before me the final time, I will only have one question to ask of you. Did you learn to receive my love? Then he said, now go tell this to the world. And with that, he waved his big, big hand and he sent me flying through the air like an astronaut flying through outer space. And then suddenly, I landed on my bed with a thud. I turned to my wife, who was asleep, and I said, honey, honey, guess what happened? I just went to heaven. And I shook her and tried to awaken her. Oh, tell me tomorrow morning, she replied, rolling over and going right back to sleep. But please try to remember that I'm convinced that God is love, and when you get to heaven, he will be only concerned with this. Did you learn to receive his love? And now may God's beautiful and free love fill every moment of your life.
Amen. That's a true story too. Let me have the worship team come back up. And I want you to put up the lyrics of the last song we did, I Have Decided to Turn In, to Follow Jesus, that one. Yep. So everybody's, oh no, wait. No, actually not everybody. Because if you're over 35 hard to stand up lah. Okay, those of you, this is only for those of you who are under 35. Now, no offense to you older people, I love you. I'm slightly over 35 also. But, this is a call for this generation. You are a special generation. So everybody under 35, stand up. Under 35. Okay. Here's the altar call. You know, we're going to sing this song, and I want you, if you're under 35, if you are a follower of Jesus, I want you to come up. So we have to pull back some of the chairs, maybe make some room. Can we do that? Yeah, we need to pull them back. Make much more room, huh? Yeah, let's help. Is there anybody under 20? Yes. Okay, those of you under 20, you come up right now here. I'm excited. You're under 20. Woo! Hallelujah. Wow, a lot of you. So many. You got that. Age is wrong, man. These are under 20. Many. Okay, can we turn the lights up a little bit more? Have more light so we can see what's... Yeah, that's good. Now we can see them. Well, so many of you under 20. Huh? How many of everybody's under 20? I didn't know everybody here is under 20. Wow. Wow. Okay. But don't come up too far because we're going to take Holy Communion too. Okay. Now, you mean everybody here is under 20? I thought they're supposed to be in their 20s. I was told all of you are in your 20s and 30s. I don't think so, la. I'm going to take your photo, though. Everybody, you know, all you young people, smile. Look over here. Satu, dua, tiga. Hey, wow, one more. Okay. One, two, three. Wow, this is crazy. This is a big... Okay, what we're going to do... I don't know what we're going to do now. I'm going home. Goodbye. Okay, we're going to do this. If you have decided to follow... We're going to sing this, okay? And as we sing this, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've decided to follow Jesus, then you come and take Holy Communion. All right? And then you can have somebody pray for you. We're going to have people pray on the side. So people on the side here to pray for you. And then you go sit down. All right? Understand that? Huh? Now, if you're over between 20 to 35, raise your hand. Okay, there are a few of you here. You old people. Okay, after this group comes up, then you come up also. But let them come up first. So let's consecrate the host. Let's do this. And we're going to, as we do the, well, first we're going to consecrate the host and do all that. And we'll have you do the official. And then after that, we'll sing this and you come up, okay? So, Lord, I pray right now for all these young people. They are a chosen people, chosen by God. To be the Joshua generation, the ones who are going to enter the promises of God. So Lord, right now, may you fill them with the love of God the Father. That they might receive the love of God, of their Father in heaven. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we break the power of any lack of love or abuse or problems with their heaven, with their earthly fathers. We just release you from that right now in Jesus' name. We release you. We release you from any unforgiveness towards your earthly father, of any bitterness, resentment, or pain, or sorrow. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we set you free from that, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, instead, may you bless him with love, the great love of our Father in heaven. Will you bless them with your unconditional love as you receive your children, as they now have their hands open before you to receive the love that comes down from heaven. May your love come down in the form of the Holy Spirit. And as they come forward, they have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. And as we take of the bread that was the body of Christ, which was broken for us, and the blood of the Lamb, which was shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, may we become renewed as children of God. Hallelujah. Just receive that. So you come now, you can come forward and take of the, and then go forward. Yeah.
To follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind.